بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All right, brothers, come closer. We continue where we left last time. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن ورائهم جهنم ولا يغني عنهم ما كسبوا شيئا ولا ما اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء ولهم عذاب عظيم. In front of them there is hell, and that which they have earned will be of no profit to them, nor will be of any profit to them those whom they have taken as أولياء, protectors, helpers beside Allah, and theirs will be a great torment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He described to us the first type of disbelievers in this chapter, the one who turn away with arrogance, ignorance, they mock the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call them afak, athim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he informed us of that torment and punishment. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ جَهَنَّمْ. Here in a translation said, in front of them. But وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ, as if he's saying, يعني the Arabic meaning is much more in depth than just in front of them. Alright, he's saying that they are heedless from Jahannam. The term وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ carries heedlessness, heedless of Jahannam. They do not, they are ignorant of it, but indeed they are going to fall in it. وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ مَا كَسَبُوا شَيْئًا. And everything they have earned in this dunya, whatever, whether it's your beautiful home, your beautiful Ferrari, your beautiful bank account, whatever you've done, your certificates, your education, everything that you have earned, if it is not subjected to the religion of Allah, will be no benefit for you. And on the day of judgment, it'll be actually against you. So, you work hard for it all your life, then it'll be used against you on the day of judgment. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the point here. And anything, the verse continues to say, that whatever you took as awliya beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be of no support to you. Will be of no support to you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَا. In Surah Al-Ankabut, He said, the example of the ones who took beside Allah as allies, helpers, supporters, intimate friends, who are dragging them away from Islam and Iman, كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. The simile of these awliya is of the spider. اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتَ, made its web, and took it as a home and as a fortress to hide in it. وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. And indeed, the most fragile of homes is the home of spider. Shuf, subhanAllah. You spend so much time collecting this awliya beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to please them, trying to assimilate with them, trying to make them part of your life, whether it is your wealth or close friends who are not righteous friends who are going to take you to paradise, evil friends, whether it is a system that you believe in, a philosophy that you believe in, a way of life that you live by other than Islam. All this that you took awliya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you take him beside Allah, it is like Bayt al-Ankabut. it is like the home of a spider. You blow on it, it's gone. Allahu Akbar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. يعني all these that you took and them, you have a great punishment. عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Now, is it only عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ? Or in the previous verses he said, مُهِين. مُهِين. So, عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ مُهِينٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allahu Akbar. All this because you did not adhere to Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هذا هدى والذين كفروا بآيات ربهم لهم عذاب من رجز أليم. This Quran is a guidance, and those who disbelieve in the ayat, proofs, evidence, verses, lessons, signs, revelation, etc. of their Lord, for them there is a painful torment of ridges, a severe kind of punishment. So here he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this Qur'an between your hands is what? Is huda, guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it as a guidance, a pure guidance. There is no wrong in it. It's not murky. It's clear. To anyone who has intellect, it is a clear one. To anyone who wants to seek wisdom, it is in it. Hudan, it guides you. The issue is, after you see the guidance, and after you have seen all this guidance in the Quran, and anyone who analyzes Quran, he will find there's so many miracles and so many ways the Quran can solve our problems. All what we need to do is adhere to it. But unfortunately, we do not. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later in the same surah, he said, don't take the example of the children of Israel. As he said in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in part of the book and disbelieve in part of it? A huda to become real guidance, it has to be taken in full. And any one of you who is a doctor or a chemist, he knows if the patient does not take the full medicine and he takes half of the prescribed medicine and leave the other half, he will not get the benefit. And he would say, طيب يا أخي, I'm taking the medicine and I'm not getting any better. Because you haven't taken enough as the doctor prescribed. And I repeat the hadith that I always repeat all the time, which is a beautiful hadith from the Prophet. A man came to the Prophet, he said, my brother, he's got a diarrhea. He said, let him take honey. He took a spoon of it. I told his brother, he took honey. He came back, said, ya Rasulullah, it's gone even worse. He said, let him take honey. Then he took honey. Then he came back to him, he said, it's not stopping. He said, let him take honey. He said, but it's not stopping. He said, Sadaq Allah wa kathab ratlu akhik. Allah is a truthful and the stomach of your brother is a lying stomach. Something wrong with it. Tell him to go eat honey. So he went and ate honey again. Then he got better. So what is the lesson behind it? That sometimes you think you are taking enough, but you're not taking enough dosage, so you can get better. So that man, that companion who came to the Prophet, who went to the Prophet ﷺ seeking cure, he hasn't taken enough honey. So his stomach will get better. Alright? Here we are the same thing. To take the Quran as guidance, we have to take it collectively and all of it, including the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And that's why you'll be successful. As long as, my brothers, the ummah is taking from Islam whatever they want and leaving whatever doesn't suit their whims and desires, I can assure you, we're never going to get better. The ummah will never advance. Unless we take the bil-kitaba biquwa, as Allah said. Biquwa, take it, all of it strongly, fully, with no compromising to the smallest order in it or prohibition in it, then the ummah, then on the first step of success. On the first step, not the last step. Our brothers come to the masjid, they pray, and they think tomorrow, because they come to the masjid tomorrow, Islam going to get better. And they're only just starting to pray. No. It takes a lot more than that. You just need to read the life of the companions, how they fully implemented the Quran, fully implemented the sunnah, then the success come after that. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هذا هدى, this Quran, this holy book is a guidance for mankind, when we take it, all of it, as Allah intended, and as His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and then the ummah will be successful. Then after this, all the verses of threat, and punishment, and tarheeb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes back again in the surah with a beautiful word, kind word, touching our hearts again, so we do not give up, and to remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Watch how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the verses he said that عذابٌ أليم عذابٌ مهيم عذابٌ عظيم, three types of different عذاب, he came back to tell us الله الذي سخر لكم البحر لتجري الفلك فيه بأمره ولتبتغوا من فضله ولعلكم تشكرون. He said, Allah, it is He who has subjected to you the sea, that ships may sail through it by His command, and that you may seek of His bounty, and that you may be thankful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, طيب, come and see now the verses of the blessings of Allah. See the blessings of Allah on you. But now see the blessings and see why you need to worship Allah. Not only because you fear Jahannam, not only because you have lust and desire to enter paradise, no, also to thank Allah. Why? Because He is the one who subjected for you the sea. Allah. See all these waves, tsunami, everything. Allah subjected the sea to you, subjected it and made it a slave to you. When you want it, you sail your ship, you eat from it vitamins, and you bring out jewelry out of the sea. Allah subjected it to you, and He made the ship easily sailing. Now when we read, all right, it sails because we start the engine, the motor, the big diesel motor in the big boat, and we sail, that's how we sail the boat. But you forgot, yes, this is you made this one, of course, by the permission of Allah. But what about the gravity? Otherwise the ship will be sailing in the sky. What about the pressure, the atmosphere pressure, and the gravity, the way this man, Archimedes, who come up with theory, the physics theory, how the ship sail in the water, and so on, the mass and all that. طيب, did he create it? Or he discovered the sunnah from the sunnah of Allah? He discovered the sunnah, a way, a universal way that Allah put inside the water, a characteristic that put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the water, and he told you, use your brains and discover. See? He did not create it, he found it. He did not invent it, no. He found it, he discovered it, where Allah hid it for us. Same thing, when you speak on the phone, they discovered it. Unfortunately, it's supposed to be the Muslims who discover these things, but we're so way behind, we can't even discover anything anymore. You lose your phone, you can't discover it anymore. That is a reality. We're so far behind. See, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he said, and listen to Imam al-Shafi'i, when Imam al-Shafi'i, 200 Hijri, what did he say? Listen, he said, there is two sciences the people of Islam must be well grounded of. And with these two types of science, there is the salvation of mankind in this dunya and the hereafter. He said, "Ilmu al-Islam, the science of the Sharia of Islam, wa ilmu al-tib, and the science of medicine." He said, "There's two sciences in the people of Islam." And he said, "Unfortunately, this is 200 Hijri. The people of Islam are neglecting the second science, which is if you own the keys of that science, you own humanity, the science of medicine. Imagine now you have a cure." For the AIDS disease, you get the greatest nation to put their nose down to you, because you own it, you own that cure. See, the people of Islam, that's why he said the salvation of mankind is within these two types of science, the science of medicine and the science of the Sharia. The Sharia is for the dunya and the hereafter, and the science is for this dunya. Can you see? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sakhar al-bahr, subjected the sea for us. So the ship can sail by what? By the order of Allah. Because as he said, bi amrihi, by his order, by his command. Because if it wasn't for his command, he can tilt the sea and all the ship would drown. As happened to some, you all know about Titanic and the tsunami and all these great disasters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. All of it because Allah's command changed. The sea turned. Because everything is subjected to Allah. And when you are a slave to Allah, He'll subject it. Give you a simple example. Your father owns a car yard. You're nice to your father. He might give you the keys of any car that you like. You disobey your father, you're only going to wash the cars. You're not going to get in one or drive one. True? That is exactly the same thing. You subject yourself to Allah, Allah will subject everything to you. Didn't he do that to the companions, radiallahu anhu? Wasn't everything subjected to them? Wasn't the didn't the companion walk on water by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Didn't they cross the companions with their horses the water? And once they crossed it, they'd say, Wallahi, we looked at the hoofs of our horses, they didn't even get wet. Didn't he subject the sea to Musa? Why? Because Musa was a real slave of Allah. So he subjected everything to you. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ So you can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these blessings. And then he said, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِّنْهُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ And has subjected to you all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. It is all as a favor and kindness from him. Verily in it are signs for people who think deeply. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He subjected everything in the heavens. Shuf, the moon is subjected to you. The sun is subjected to you. Allah made them all of them for your benefit, O mankind. He created the dunya for you, and He created you for Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I only created the jinn and mankind so they can worship me. And He created everything so He can make your life easy and your life livable so you can be His slave. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He said, see everything in the heavens? It's subjected to you. When you go up in the plane, when you fly, He made all the air and everything subject to you to use it. And all the clouds and all that in the heavens, the rain and everything that happens is subject to you. So you can benefit from it. And most of the times, everything in the heavens and earth brings benefit to us, doesn't it? At times Allah, He makes it destroys. He makes it, He turns it to destroy cities and destroy people and nations. Why does He do that? Either because they've done something wrong, or because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on His wisdom, He wants to show you what He is doing, and that if you do not thank the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that is now subjected to you could turn against you. Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the wind picks up, how he used to make dua and his face would change and he would fear? Why? He would fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He'll send destruction in this wind, or send destruction in this rain, with the rain. Because everything is under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. That's why He said, جَمِيعًا مِّنْهُ All of it from Him. All of it from Him. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ In all this, worldly verses for people who think deeply. Who are the people who think deeply? The people who think deeply who are able to relate those causes to the one who created them. Not only stop at a certain point. What it means? Yani if you were to ask the scientist how the rain comes down, he will explain the evaporation, all this, the clouds move and the rain comes down in the cycle of water. Good. Is there a step after that? Step after that? If he was educated of secular university, he says, yeah, it's evolution. Yeah, but how did it all come about? How this all these fields, all of it, working in cohesion with each other? He cannot answer this question. So he is able to tell you how it works, but why it works like that, no one can tell you, except Allah. He can tell you how it works, but why it works like this in such a system? Why there is no other system? Why the water has to be evaporated by heat? Why there isn't another system? I'll tell you, I don't know. But the one who thinks deeply, he will tell you it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There has to be a creator who controls it. As Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, people came to him and said, Ya Imam, they said, what? He said, you people are Muslims, you really think that there is God who created everything? He says, yes. He said, we can't see him, so we don't believe in him. He said, Wallahi, I know a ship that sails in the sea. And docks. unload and load again and sails again with no captain. I said, come on, get serious. He said, you get serious. All these heavens and earth that operates in an accurate way and doesn't have someone who controls it, you need to get serious. This is when he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the ones who think deep. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Listen the verses of mercy. Muhammad, say to the ones who believe. يَغْفِرُوا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ أَيَّامَ اللَّهِ لِيَجْزِيَ قَوْمًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ Say, O Muhammad, to the believers, to forgive those who harm them and hope not for the days of Allah, i.e. His recompense, that He may recompense a people, according to what they have earned, i.e. to punish these disbelievers who harm the believers. Now, of course, this ayah is talking about in Mecca, before the jihad. Don't get confused. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, say to the believers, to forgive those one who do not hope in the hereafter. Yani they do not really believe in the hereafter. When they harm the Muslims, tell them to forgive them. Because you're trying to give them da'wah and bring them to Islam. These people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are better than lowering yourself to them. You should be feeling sorry for them. Why? Because they rejected the simplest things, which is believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adhering to Islam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah is going to punish him in the hereafter. And why not? Why not punishing them? Why not punishing them with all these verses that they see every day? They still refuse to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They still refuse to believe in monotheism, in tawheed. They still want to blindly follow their whims and desires, their monks and rabbis, when they mislead them. Without taking the time to think for themselves. And that's why they are getting punished for that. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, forgive these people. Forgive them. Be kind towards them. Because you have the upper hand. You have the correct path. You are a mercy to the world and mankind. You need to be able to accommodate these people because they have no brains really. It is like you treat your little child. How you try to persuade him. These people, they have not enough intellect. That's why they haven't accepted Islam. So you need to teach them and educate them and bring them to Islam. And some of them turn away with arrogance. This is as we spoke about previously. Alright, my brothers. But the verses in Medina says that if they start to harm you, then there is jihad. If a kafir country attacks a Muslim country, then there is a jihad here. A defend for yourself the least. Some brothers are too scared. Yani they think, jihad, it's always jihad and nafs. No, there is jihad, which is even the human rights people, they say, it is allowed. You need to protect yourself. At least, it's a common, animalistic thing inside of you, that if someone comes to harm you, you want to defend yourself. Now they want to take that right from you too. And then you're not allowed even to defend yourself. So, verses in Medina speaks about total different concept about in Mecca, and the ulama said, but the verses in Mecca, when the Muslims are in a state of weakness, they implement the verses in Mecca, that to be able to give da'wah and bring people to Islam and deal with people through that, through the shades of the verses in the Mecca Quran. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, and we'll continue inshallah tomorrow night. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.